When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Second hour here on Tuesday morning, here on this championship Tuesday morning. Celtics once again NBA champions for the 18th time in franchise history. And somebody had a great point. They said, there are kids who are getting their driver's license today who were not even walking when the Celtics last won a championship, but it does seem like it hasn't been that long, right? It doesn't feel like it's been 16 years, at least to me. How long ago did the Celtics win the title? Like 5-6 years ago. No, it was 16. What? But that drought is over. And so the tentative schedule is for the parade to happen on Friday. That is the tentative schedule. The city officials in Boston are planning to meet this morning at 11 a.m. to finalize those parade plans. But Celtics co-owner Steve Pagliuca told WBZ-TV during the celebration Monday night the details are still being worked out. He said, I've heard Friday, but the mayor has to decide that. That's not for me to decide. We'll show up whenever the mayor says it'll be. But again, with the heat wave and with the potential for rain, that might have something to say about when this actually takes place. Because you could have a serious issue if it's, you know, almost 100 degrees out and you're having this parade. You could have people passing out, and let's face it, the people who are out there celebrating are probably not staying hydrated by drinking a lot of water. They're probably going to be drinking something else that won't keep them so hydrated. So it'll be finalized today. And as soon as we know, we'll let you know. But the Friday is the tentative plan. And if you're fortunate enough that you can get the day off to go, I mean, I suppose, theoretically, I could go. I could leave here right after the show and head to Boston. And wouldn't it be nice if we had South Coast Rail already up and running like it was supposed to be? And that could take us to Boston for the Duck Boat Parade? But I suppose I could leave. I've never gone to any of the championship parades. Never really had any interest in going. I'll watch them on TV, but I never felt like I had to be there. Part of that might have been because for a lot of those championships, certainly for the Celtics in 08 and for the Patriots, I wasn't necessarily at the Super Bowl, but I was covering the team. So, I felt like I had experienced part of it. So I didn't necessarily need to be there for the celebration. And plus, I don't try to avoid crowds if I can. But if you plan on going and you do attend, You know, feel free to send us back some photos, some videos. You can send it to us right there at the parade from the WBSM app. You can hit the send audio video button. You can send photos via app chat. A really easy thing to do is just hit that open line voicemail button, because when you hit that, it's going to ask you, do you want to send audio or do you want to send video? And you can just send video or photos. Or if you want to email them to me, tim@wbsm.com. I don't know if any of the Fun 107 folks plan on going up for it, but as much as I wouldn't want to go to the championship parade, hearing 90 degrees makes me really not want to go. People jammed in, packed in like sardines, as they say, and it's 90 degrees out. Everybody's sweating on each other, stinking. Come on. Nope. I'll watch it on TV. Thanks. I won't be any less excited watching it on television. But I've been saying to people who, you know, like I saw somebody yesterday that I hadn't seen in a while. And, you know, when people see me, they ask about the weight loss and they say, well, how do you feel? How do you feel? I say, well, I feel pretty good. But, you know, one of the things that's really stood out is I don't mind the hot weather as much as I did. But this will be the test for that this week. Because it really hasn't been too bad. But before, I mean, I would get in the car and I'd be driving down the road and I'd be soaked in sweat and I hated it. I had what I called my road shirts I would put on in the car so that when I got to where I was going, I could take those off and put on the shirt that I wanted to wear so I wouldn't be all sweaty. I mean, it would also help if I just fixed my air conditioning, but now it doesn't seem to bother me, but we'll see. We'll see how we feel after this week. 508-996-0500. The other story we were discussing was this New Bedford Light report by Colin Hogan that the high school is looking at possibly, New Bedford High School is looking at possibly restricting cell phone use during the school day. That they're looking into getting some of those pouches, those bags that the kids have to keep their phones in during the day. And I don't know how I feel about kids having cell phones in school. I understand why parents want them to have access to them, because they want them to be able to be reached at any given time. But a lot of us didn't have that option when we were in school. A lot of us didn't have the option of being able to talk with our parents anytime we wanted. We had the in-classroom phone that you could dial out on, but you had to have permission from the teacher to use it. And your parent could call the school and they could transfer your call to the classroom that you were in if there was an emergency. But for the most part, we were kind of isolated from that kind of contact. And I won't say that, you know, we were focused any more than kids that have cell phones, but it seems the data from Colin Hogan's reporting shows that when there is a cell phone restriction, the kids do say that they're more focused and they do see educational benefits, increased scores. And Colin writes sets the scene pretty well with walking down the hallway of the New Bedford High School and seeing students and teachers alike using their phones. And that's going to be the hard sell. So teachers who are like, oh, yeah, I'm all for this. Yeah, I'm all for kids not being able to use their phones. What a distraction it is in class. Keep in mind that that means you, too. You can't ask the kids to put their phones in a bag and then you sit up there and you're texting during the time that they're silently reading to themselves or filling out a worksheet or taking a test. But what bothers me more from this story isn't so much about whether or not the phones are going to be banned, but it's the fact that the kids are saying, well, we need to use our phones because the websites that we need to access, we can't access on our school-issued computers. That the school's internet restricts what we can do to the point that we need things that we can't get. So we're told by our teachers to use our phones. That seems like an easy fix. Why isn't somebody going in and whitelisting those sites so that the kids can have access to them? I mean, hey, listen, you know, we're a corporate entity here. We're part of a bigger corporation, and we're subject to what their IT department wants us to have access to and what they don't. But they would never restrict us from getting something that is what we use to do our jobs. You know, obviously we can't go on gambling websites on our work computers. Now, the only reason I know that is because when sports gambling launched, I couldn't get to any of the sites to write about them. I had to go on my phone. So I can see, you know, needing to have some restriction. But if the kids are telling you we can't use these sites that we need to use, why can't somebody just go and whitelist them and make them accessible? Why is it only until just last year that they could access and download PDFs, which has become the most commonly transmitted type of document? Anyway, 508-996-0500. Lamone, calling on two phones isn't going to get you on any faster. You're back in the line here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
Good. I just managed to get my walk in. I don't know when this big heat wave's coming, but I just had it. Now, I heard about the cell phones. Now, they want them put into pouches. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the pouches are locked.
Yeah, it's those, what do they call them, yonder pouches?
I don't know. I've never heard of it. But if the pouches are locked, they cannot use that, right? But they're carrying it on their self?
I'm not sure how they handle that. I'm not sure if it's something that's like at the top of the classroom or if it's something that's kept on their desk. I know that in Wareham, they have like cubbies that they put them into.
Okay. So now I'm asking you, because I didn't hear the whole call. Now, are you for that?
I don't really know how I feel about it. I think that, you know, kids having phones at lunch and in between classes should be okay. Using them during the class, I feel like that's a distraction. But if that's what they need to find to access the information that they need, then they need to be able to use them.
Okay. So am I to understand the pouches are locked. Now,
I mean,
I don't like it. I don't like it. See, back in my day, of course, we didn't have anything like that. But I would have liked to have had it. But what if something's going on in the school and, you know, they're hiding and everything and they want to call their parents, even if it's just to say, God forbid, goodbye? I mean, how are these things unlocked? Are they able to unlock everyone's pouch all at one time where if something happens, they can
It looks like each individual pouch has its own. I'm looking at photos of a yonder lock now, and it has like a base that it locks into. So it's like a little twist. No, it's like a little twisty thing on the pouch, and when you untwist it, it unlocks it.
You mean they can just untwist it and unlock it?
Mm-hmm.
What is the reason for all this? Then they can do that all day long, untwist it and unlock it then. What's the meaning?
Well, that's why I say I think they put them at the front of the classroom. So it's not on their desk.
You know what? This is over control, Mr. Weisberg. It's over controlled. If you catch them doing things, okay, you punish them and take the phone away until the end of the day. But until something like that happens, come on, that really...
I mean, is it over-controlled? If they say that it's something that's not allowed in school, then it's not allowed in school.
I've never heard of such a thing. Back in my day, we couldn't even be allowed to have it because we didn't have one. And now we're allowed to have these modern things and be grateful for it. I'm sure the students, if you keep after them enough, they'll understand that they're not supposed to be using it. You catch them, you put a stiff penalty on it. I cannot see that. I'm sorry.
I mean, there, you think about this. There was a time when you couldn't even have a calculator in school.
I understand, but that's a lot different than contacting your parents. It's a lot different.
Well, how did you contact your parents if you were in school?
We couldn't. We'd have to depend on the teachers or someone in the office. If we got sick,
so,
they would call.
So what's wrong with that?
So you're all for this thing?
No, I'm just telling you what their argument is.
Well, wait a minute now. And it's because they're students, right? If you were going into a college class right now, would they take your phone away from you?
Well, college is different.
Would you like it if they did that to you?
But college is, it's, you know, when you're in college, it's your own.
Would you like it?
Well, they wouldn't do it in college, so it's not a valid question.
But I'm asking you if they did. Just answer yes or no, Mr. Weisberg. You're dancing around. You're good for dancing.
If the school had a rule that said you can't use it, and I knew that rule going to the school, then I would accept that rule.
Okay, but there is no rule right now. There was no rule for schools of the children today, and all of a sudden they're putting that rule in there. So what happens if in college they all of a sudden put that rule in there? I just want an answer.
I don't think that they can, because it's your own choice. I mean, you can eat in a classroom in college if you want to.
So, okay, so then it would be a permissible in college, but not in a high school or a middle school.
Right. You can't wear a hat in high school either, but you can wear one in college.
I don't know. I think it's all ridiculous. You can't wear this. You can't have your phone on you. What is next?
Well, I agree with you. I think the hat thing has always been ridiculous, yes.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. Thank you for taking my call, and now I'm going to cool down and have something to eat.
Well, enjoy.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
The hat thing, I never understood. Oh, hats are a distraction when kids wear them in school. Huh? No. Anyway, 508. I mean, I guess if you have like one of those hats with like you pull the string and the hands clap on it, or if you have like a beanie with it, a propeller on it or something, but a hat is a hat. 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
What's shaking, Playboy?
What's going on?
Yesterday you were talking about Janet Jackson. I used to date her choreographer, Tina Landon. Do you remember that? You remember back when she was doing that video with Jennifer Lopez? You remember back in the...
I don't know if I remember that one.
You remember, it's like, I got the song on the tip of my tongue. I'm singing it. Well, anyways, she's in that video, though. So, also, you know what happened? You're talking about the concert, the Eagles. You're supposed to be coming out here to see the Eagles in September. And so did you hear what happened? We've got one of those monoliths out here. I just outside of Las Vegas. Those monoliths that was like in Arizona, up in Utah and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
One of them appeared this weekend. Out here, and it's big and shiny. So I'm planning on hopefully going to see it this weekend, Friday. You know, Thursday or Friday, possibly. So have you talked about it out there yet?
No, I haven't heard much about that. No, not at all. Is it like an art thing?
You remember the monolith that appeared in Utah, both like 2 years ago, 3 years ago? The one monolith was tall, metallic, and shiny. You remember? It looked like the monolith kind of like from
2001?
What? Yeah, well, I was going to say that. It looks more like the Washington Monument. It looks like that. And it was shiny, all flat and shiny. You remember that? It wasn't that long ago. It was on there.
I don't really remember it now.
Look it up. See if you look it up right now while you're talking to me. It's the monolith. There's a new one here in Las Vegas, outside Las Vegas, that just appeared this weekend.
Well, I mean, don't worry about if I know what it is. You got about two seconds here before we got to go to a commercial. So,
well, I want you to
get to your point.
I'm saying that it's that makes me so unloved, and so yeah.
I'm looking at it. It looks just like the thing from 2001. Yeah,
exactly. But it's more shiny instead of the black. It depends what angle look. It looks like it might look like it's black, like an obelisk. But if you look at it in light, the shines. It's like shining like I'm gonna say like chrome looking all over. And it's like 12 feet tall and stuff like that. You know, like the last one. Do you remember that from the one in Utah that people?
I just told you I don't remember anything about it. You got 30 seconds before I got to take a break.
I thought you might have looked by you were. while you were checking right there, you see the mine look now.
I did look, yes.
Okay, so you see the resemblance, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm planning on going out there to go see it. I hope it's going to still be there. They say sometimes it'll disappear out of nowhere. And like that one appeared out of nowhere. So I just thought that would be kind of interesting. So so what do you think was the best team, the Celtics team you've seen that you personally remember seeing? Or you might have not seen them all, but you're still a youngling.
The best one that I've seen is probably the 86 Celtics.
Yeah, they were pretty good. Who do you think was the best team besides, who was the best team during your time of remembering, being...
One of the new big three teams. I think it was the 2010 team. I'd have to go back and look. I don't recall off the top of my head, but one of those teams was really, really good. And if not for injuries, they would have won the title.
I think the 82 Philadelphia 76ers. They remember the song. It's also Fo Fi Fo. Remember that song? Fo Fi. It goes. They won 4-5 and 4 games. It was only lost one. But they were 68-12, 68-14, something like that. Yeah.
I got about 10 seconds here, Lamont, before I got to go to a break. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Are you doing something live this weekend?
No, I have plans this weekend.
What are you doing this weekend?
It's my son's birthday.
Well, tell your son a happy birthday.
We'll do that.
So, what are you going to do for him?
We haven't decided yet. I got to hold you there, Lamone, because I got to take this break. Phil's waiting to do the news, and I got to get this break in first.
Hey, Phil, how you doing, fella?
He's, all right. He's giving you a thumbs up. All right. You have a good day, Lamone. Take care.
Take a light in New Bedford.
All right.
In the house. God bless everybody.
Ciao. Okay. That's Lamone in Las Vegas. We'll be right back. Look at that, Phil. I hit it right on the mark, even with Lamone rambling on. All right, let's go into the newsroom now and get all of the latest stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
President Biden close to granting amnesty for some migrants. The head of Boeing expected to apologize for safety failures. And a woman's cheap thrift store fine isn't what it seems.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden is reportedly prepping an executive action granting temporary amnesty for hundreds of thousands of immigrants here illegally. It could be announced as soon as today. Mark Mayfield reports.
Reports say the White House is set to launch a so-called parole-in-place plan for illegal immigrant spouses of U.S. citizens. The plan protects them from deportation, grants them a work permit, and could also provide a pathway to citizenship. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The White House is disputing the characterization of a video that critics say shows President Biden having to be led off stage. White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre is questioning the authenticity of these types of videos.
We're seeing these deep fakes, these manipulated videos, and it is, again, done in bad faith.
Some commentators say the video taken at a fundraiser in California over the weekend shows Biden freezing up before former President Obama grabs his wrist and leads him off stage. Jean-Pierre says all the video shows is two good friends walking off stage. An ABC News poll shows an overwhelming majority of Americans think Biden is too old to serve a second term. About 1 in 5 Americans say former President Trump's conviction makes them less likely to support him in November. That's according to a new Ipsos survey, which shows that another 40% say Trump's guilty verdict has no impact on how they plan to vote in the presidential election. Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun will testify before a Senate committee today, where he's expected to apologize for the company's recent safety failures. In prepared remarks released ahead of time, Calhoun apologizes for the failures, including 2 fatal crashes, but he denies that the company has retaliated against employees who've pulled back the curtain on cutting corners to meet production demand. Over 175,000 marijuana convictions in Maryland have been pardoned. Maryland Democratic Governor Wes Moore signed the executive order issuing the pardons on Monday.
We are taking actions that are intentional, that are sweeping, and unapologetic. And this is the largest such action in our nation's history.
Moore went on to say the pardons won't turn back the clock on decades of harm that was caused by, quote, this war on drugs. Cannabis was made legal for recreational use for adults in Maryland last July. And a woman's $3 thrift store find is on its way back to Mexico after it was found to be a priceless Mayan artifact. Ann Dozier found a vase in a Maryland thrift store about 5 years ago and bought it thinking it was a reproduction. She later found out that the vase was a ceremonial urn used by the Mayan people more than 1,000 years ago. Dozier and her children attended a ceremony at the Cultural Institute of Mexico last night to return the vase for analysis and display in a Mexican museum.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics have won a record 18th NBA championship. The Celtics defeated the Dallas Mavericks 106-88 last night to win the NBA Finals Series 4-1. Celtics forward Jason Tatum says winning his first championship was surreal.
To be able to say we did it, that we came together and we won a championship, banner number 18 has been hanging over our head for so many years. To know that we're going to be engraved in history, and it still hasn't, like, registered.
Boston has now won more NBA titles than any other team, breaking a tie at 17 with the L.A. Lakers. A victory parade is likely on Friday. And the Red Sox extended their win streak to 3 after topping the Blue Jays 7-3 in their series opener in Toronto. Next game tonight at 7.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Look for tons of sunshine for your Tuesday. It is going to be warm and muggy. Look for a high around 82. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low of 66. For Wednesday, look for mostly sunny skies and a high of 82. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
Weather on WBSM is brought to you by SeaStreak. Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit SeaStreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Here come the hot stepper, I'm the lyrical gangster. Big up the crew in the area.
And welcome back in, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And, you know, yeah, I heard people talking about the Biden video yesterday, but more concerning to me is the Chuck Schumer photo. Have you seen that? The photo that he tweeted out for Father's Day? Oh, man. He's grilling burgers and hot dogs and smiling at the camera, and in the photo, he has a raw burger on the grill with a slice of cheese on it. Like, the burger hasn't even been flipped once yet. And he's already putting the cheese on the raw burger. And at first I thought, you know, I just saw the photo going around. And at first I thought, well, maybe this is like some kind of like grilling trick. Like the cheese melts into the burger and kind of gives it that cheese in the middle. Maybe he's going to put another slice on top afterwards, or maybe he takes another burger and puts it on top and it makes some kind of like weird cheesy double burger type thing. I was like, is this like an old Schumer family recipe? But it turns out, nah, the guy's just never grilled burgers before, apparently. Because he put out with the tweet, our family has lived in an apartment building for all of our years, but my daughter and her wife just bought a house with a backyard, and for the first time we're having a barbecue with hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill. Father's Day heaven. So sounds like you just had never grilled burgers before. And I guess if you've lived in an apartment building your whole life and they don't allow you to have a grill, you're probably not that used to grilling hamburgers, right? You never made a cheeseburger on the grill before. Except here's the thing, Chuck. The process of making a cheeseburger on the grill is the same as making a process of making a cheeseburger on the stovetop. So if you've ever cooked a cheeseburger in a frying pan because you didn't have a grill in your apartment, I doubt you put the cheese on the raw burger there too. Just say I've never made a cheeseburger before. Just say it. But I'm serious. I really like thought that this was like some sort of technique that I was unaware of. Because I was a cook for, I don't know, 10 years before I'd ever heard of a steamed cheeseburger. So I guess, you know, there's always time to learn something new. I mean, I made burgers every day. I probably made 100 burgers every day. Maybe not that many, but certainly 100 burgers a week. And I'd never seen anybody put cheese on it while it's still raw on the grill. But glad that you got to grill, Chuck. Happy Father's Day. I cringe to think what'll happen when you put your first steak on your daughter's new grill. You know that you've got to cook it all the way through. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We were talking about the cell phones possibly being banned or possibly being restricted in New Bedford High School going forward. They're going to try a pilot program, I guess, over the summer and see if it's something that they want to put in place for the fall. But the student representative on the school committee, Elliot Talley, has expressed to the New Bedford Light his concerns about this. He thinks that it should be something that is available to the kids. And the kids that they talk to seem to be in favor of it. But then when they look at some of the data that has come in from schools like the Wayland City High School, Alma Del Mar with middle school age students, they see the data that has come in from restricting cell phone use from those kids. And they say, well, the kids seem to pay attention more and get better grades without them. So as I said earlier, I don't know how I feel about it. And I'm talking about in class while class is going on. I don't think there should be any issue with having the phone in between classes or at lunch. Or even in study hall. I mean, I do everything on my phone. So if I was sitting there at lunch, I mean, granted, school lunch was a stand-up comedy routine for me and my friends. Like, all we would do is try to make each other laugh. So I don't think anybody would have been looking at their phones if we had them. But, you know, certainly in study hall, I'd want to be looking things up. So maybe the problem is they haven't given enough of an attempt at trusting the kids to utilize them properly. It sounds like it's been kind of a free-for-all with teachers telling them, oh, well, if you can't access that site on your school-issued Chromebook, then use your phone. And then they go into another classroom and that teacher is saying, I don't want to see your phones during class. There's no kind of standard there. Try putting some standards in place for a year. See how that plays out. Before you have everybody locking their phones up in these yonder pouches. Which, by the way, is an investment. There's grant money to be had for it, but still, you've got to buy the pouches. And I was looking on the yonder site. If you want to get a yonder box to put your phone in into your house, it's $250. I'm sure the pouches aren't quite that much money and they're going to get a bulk discount, but still. So, Not Bad Oak Bluff says, good morning, Tim. I can still remember a time when having a pager in school was the big debate. Right. We had conversations about whether or not we were going to be allowed to have them when I was in school. That there were teachers that said, well, you know, I don't care if you have one, if it's on silent or vibrate. And then everybody can hear it go off on vibrate. And it becomes a distraction. And there were teachers that said, yeah, your pager can go off all you want. You're not using the phone to call somebody. You can wait till class is over. We had... You know, again, this is probably the the beginning days of kids carrying pagers, you know, 1995, 1996. But we had kids in class that their pagers would go off all the time. And then, you know, somebody would joke, what are you, a drug dealer? Ha, ha, ha. And then the whole class would laugh, and there you go. Class has been distracted and interrupted. Meanwhile, it's just that their mom expects them to get back to them because why did I buy you a pager if you're not answering me? That was the thing that used to drive my boss crazy is when I got a cell phone when I was in college because he used to page me when I was in school and have to wait for me to get the opportunity to give him a call back. And then when I got a cell phone, he would, yeah, well, you got a cell phone now. Call me back right away. Like, I'm not going to call you at 50 cents a minute. You can wait until class is over and I can go to the payphone and pay a quarter. And then, of course, there was the time that I didn't have any change and I called him collect because he called me like he paged me four times. Will you accept a collect call from Tim? And then I hear him yell, no, it's not that important, and hang up the phone. So remember back in those days, too, we had the calling cards, like the little card you could carry around that had all the minutes on it. And then we also had all those special numbers that we would dial to save money on the call. 10, 10, 220. I remember that one. There were some other ones, too. 1-800-COLLECT. That's the last bastion of the payphone use. There's still a few out there. Still see a few from time to time. And occasionally there's even one that actually works. 508-996-0500. We'll take a break here and be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, what's going on, Tim?
How you doing?
Not bad. I just heard something recently. The debate is going to happen, I guess, Friday. The big debate between mm-hmm. Biden and Trump. And a lot of people are having these thoughts that if this is actually going to help Biden because of the different rules that are there. Like you can't interrupt they shut the mics off, etc. I actually think that's going to be beneficial to both sides. I think one of the biggest issues with Trump is that he had the ability to cut off Biden, and it made Trump look bad in one of those first debates back in 2020. So he kept arguing and yelling and screaming over Biden when Biden was trying to talk. And it actually made the viewers like turn off of Trump, even if Trump was actually making a good point. So I think this is actually going to be beneficial. A lot of people are saying it's going to be beneficial for Biden because then, you know, Trump can't talk over Biden. But I think it's actually going to be beneficial for Trump also because it's not going to allow him to make himself look bad.
Right.
Because if I remember in 2020, I think one of the subsequent debates, he was more subdued. He was more professional. He wasn't so bombastic. And he actually scored a little higher in regards to that.
Yeah, and I think
with the viewers.
I think, yeah, you'll have a chance to get your point out. And actually, you know, when he wants to take a shot at Biden, it'll resonate more because you'll be the only one talking, you know, so you can you can have the platform to yourself. By the way, it's on the 27th that this debate will be happening.
Oh, so not this Friday, next Friday?
Next Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah. So, yeah, it was something that I thought of. I was like, you know, a lot of people were making that coming to that conclusion that, like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of advantages to Biden. The other advantage that they thought that was going to be an advantage for Trump was no notes were allowed. There's never been notes allowed, as far as I remember. For all the debates that I've watched in the past, you've never had the candidates go up there with a sheet of paper with bullet points. I've never seen it. They're usually throwing down a whole bunch of notes on the debate stage. They're like jotting down little talking points as they go.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that I found interesting. I'm like, that seems like it was like an old rule that's just carried forward. I think the only rule that's new is the cutting off of the mics. And that's like a Trump rule because he likes to be, you know, loud and is, you know, just New York. But yeah, it's just something I thought was interesting. I think Trump is going to do a lot better at this debate than he did at the first debate in 2020 or 2019, whatever it was. Just specifically because of that, we're going to kind of subdue him and give him a little bit of a tranquilizer and allow him to kind of make his point without yelling and screaming and turning people off.
And it'll be interesting to see without, you know, you're not playing to a crowd either because there won't be an audience.
You know, that's the one thing, actually, that I think will hurt Trump because he feeds off of the energy of the crowd.
Right, which any public speaker does.
Yeah, but more so, I mean, Biden might not even know that the crowd's there regardless, even if there was a crowd there. But the Trump being the showman that he is, coming from the background that he has, being in TV, he like, because he's always been about, oh, the polls, what do the polls say, or look at the ratings that I got on this speech, or look at the ratings I got during this debate. He only cares about that, and he feeds off of that, and it gives him energy, and it gives his base energy. And I think without the audience there, he'll be a little flatter, which, I mean, going back to what I said, it could actually help him because it might not make him as energetic in a negative sense. So it could help him. It could hurt him in that way. But I think long term, I think throughout the debate, he won't have the energy that he usually does because he can't feed off of the audience.
Sure. Got to hold you there. Got to take a break. But thank you for the call.
All right, Tim.
Have a good day.
Bye.
And let me take this break. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. We will be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we can talk more with you. 508-996-0500. Again, the meeting will be today at 11 a.m. with the Boston City officials to determine when exactly the parade will be for the Boston Celtics. But the preliminary idea is that it'll be on Friday, which means dealing with potential rain, dealing with oppressive heat. So the city may decide that that's not the best idea. I just don't know if they can keep the Celtics around long enough. I don't know if they can keep them here in town for another week. Certainly if the team says, hey guys, you know, go home now and we'll fly you back in on Monday for a Tuesday parade, you know, maybe that's a possibility. But I don't know. These guys want to get into their offseason. As much as they want to get out there and celebrate, they've got other commitments that they have to.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.